What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. We have a very interesting UFC pay-per-view on hand here with UFC 259, headlined by Israel Adesanya, moving up from middleweight to challenge for the light heavyweight title against Jan Blachowicz. And honestly, this is the most stacked card I've seen the UFC run in quite some time. Obviously, the pandemic affecting everything, but 15 fights, nothing called off in the Apex due to COVID restrictions. So we're gonna have a fully packed card and three title fights. So obviously Adesanya and Blachowicz are going on last. So this is gonna be a very late night in terms of UFC action tonight. You know, going to be interesting because, you know, getting right down to it with the title fight, Adesanya moving up in weight class from middleweight to light heavyweight. Vegas has him as the, and not by a small margin, he's minus 235 in terms of the odds makers. You know, I really have a tough time with this one. And I know Adesanya is a tremendous striker. But as well-rounded as Adesanya is on the feet, with his hands, you know, he's a world champion kickboxer. Like, there's nothing about his striking that you can question. The question becomes, you know, how much of an impact will that have in translating moving up in weight? Because, you know, obviously 185, 205, you know, it's not that insignificant of a jump. There is a power difference when you get hit. And, you know, the 205ers aren't really 205. They're really closer to 235, 240. Adesanya is, you know, he's put on some muscle for this fight. He did weigh in a little bit higher than what people were expecting, but, you know, he only weighed in at 202. You know, he's still not at the 205 weight class. Like, he's not cutting weight. He's trying to build up muscle. You know, I have reservations about that power translating as well. Yes, could he finish Blachowicz? Yeah, there's not like a question that he could finish him, but my issue is, can he take that much damage from Jan if Jan gets inside and starts landing body shots? You know, what you saw with Blachowicz in the upset victory over Dominic Reyes to capture the light heavyweight title that was vacated by Jon Jones is Jan is very big for light heavyweight. You know, realistically, he's carrying around walking weight of 240 and cut down to 205. You know, he's a big dude. Size advantage-wise, he's going to probably have once, you know, obviously both guys made weight, but, you know, once they get in after midnight, you know, realistically, you're going to see Blachowicz probably come in around 225, 230 in terms of once he's fully rehydrated. You know, Izzy may, like I said, could put on some pounds, but realistically, you know, his walking weight inside the octagon, you know, I'd be shocked if he was anywhere close to 210. I think that would probably be the max of him with his frame coming in without coming across as a little bit too bloated, you know, once they kind of go through the training camp. But, you know, I just don't. I have some questions about Izzy being able to stand up to taking some of the blows from Blachowicz. So, you know, it's not that I don't think he can win the fight. I just have a big problem with taking odds at him minus 235. You know, if it was like minus 150, minus 180, you know, that's more manageable that I could see it being a reasonable pick. When it's getting up to minus 235, that's where I kind of have to hit the brakes a bit and kind of question, you know, what am I really getting here in terms of value? Because I just don't see Izzy being that prohibitive of a favorite where he's going to be getting the victory 7 out of 10 times, realistically, if we're going to be paying that off in terms of value. You know, I'm just not necessarily seeing that that aspect of it. So it gets a little bit dicey for me kind of going in that direction of taking Izzy in that fashion. So from my standpoint, the biggest thing is, you know, what's the true valuation here of this play? And I just don't necessarily see Izzy paying off true value with the odds as they currently are. I would rather take Blachowicz as a dog at plus 180 than taking Izzy. And, you know, even then, it's still not great odds on Blachowicz, but I do think if you're betting it to get some value, you know, that's one way to go. And inside of the distance is minus 180. I do think that this, you know, five-round fight, I don't think this goes the distance. I think they're striking, you know, if Blachowicz gets a hold of Izzy and lands some good shots, I think he finishes Izzy. And if Izzy does get into a groove and starts peppering Blachowicz, I think Blachowicz slows down between somewhere in the championship rounds, and Izzy can finish him inside the distance. So I do think that inside the distance is probably the better way of going about this matchup here. All right, next up, we've got the women's bantamweight championship on the line, where Amanda Nunes is defending one of her titles at 145 pounds. She has the 135-pound belt at featherweight as well, against Megan Anderson. Yes, it's spelled Megan, but it is Megan Anderson. You know, a huge underdog, and for good reason, because Megan Anderson's resume does not warrant an actual title shot. Interesting thing I learned in the research on this fight is that Megan Anderson is on the last fight of her current UFC contract, and given the fact that, you know, it's been a little bit lackluster of a UFC career despite the hype, there's a possibility that she could, you know, what she was signed at, she might get cut after this, or not cut, but just not re-signed. So it's very interesting that the UFC kind of fed her into this spot just to get an opponent in front of Nunes, because she's cleaned out both divisions pretty much. Realistically, there's no one left for Nunes to fight. She's already beaten Valentina Shevchenko twice. She's already beaten Cyborg. You know, obviously, Jermaine Durandamine, you know, Holly Holm, like all these potential contenders, like, no one even know, like, you know, she's got wins over them. It's like there's no real surprise of, you know, what's going on. You know, it's just a kind of a case where, you know, you could call her the GOAT, and really hard to argue against it. You know, there's just not much else to say. So, you know, what it kind of comes down to at this point is, you know, what else are we realistically going to be able to say for this fight? I mean, I just don't see any scenario where Megan Anderson competes in this one. You know, just being blunt, I think, you know, overall, this is a pretty clear-cut case that Nunes either grinds her out or finishes her within the distance. Maybe there's some fluke chance that Megan Anderson gets a flash KO, you know, there's a slip, you know, crazier things have happened, but at a minus 1,000 favorite for Nunes, I really just don't see any scenario where she's really getting clipped. But, you know, if you were going to bet Megan Anderson, honestly, plus 650 isn't going to cut it. The way to, if you really wanted to do something with this fight, which I'm not going to do, but, you know, you've already got Nunes at minus 1,000. Megan Anderson being able to win by knockout, which I think is the only way she's going to win. She's not going to win the decision. Point blank, she's not. Megan Anderson is not winning a decision over Amanda Nunes. It's got to be some scenario where she clips Nunes. Maybe she gets a sub because Nunes gets tired and she got clipped. You know, again, I just don't see it, but like that's the only way. It's not going to be that by decision because she's not going to be able to put up enough volume in terms of striking to actually do the damage against Nunes. It's just not that's just not a scenario that's going to play out. All right, so that basically covers the aspect that I want to touch upon on this woman's fight, because I really don't see any unless it's a fluke kind of stoppage. So you know, moving on to the fight that I really want to touch upon is Peter Yan defending against Aljamain Sterling. And, you know, this should be the best fight of the night, in my opinion. I mean, I know Izzy's the headliner, but the Yan-Sterling fight probably ends up being the go-to fight for most folks here. These are the two best bantamweights in a division, in my opinion. Sanhagen's right there, and he's lurking. But Sterling got the win. Sterling's the best wrestler in the division. Yan may be the best striker in the division outside of Sanhagen. You know, the question becomes, can Sterling get Yan to the ground and impose his will? Because Yan is going to be putting up punching volume. You know, the way this just fight is just classic striker versus grappler. You know, I'm curious if Peter Yan implements a strategy of using leg kicks, though, and calf kicks specifically. You know, it's not necessarily what he would normally do, but I think against a fighter like Sterling, you know, what we saw in the Cody Sanhagen fight is the fact that if you don't get Sterling off of you and you allow him to maintain range and then be able to shoot on you at will, you know, it's just not a situation where you're going to be able to stop the takedown. And, you know, the thing is, Sterling is going to shoot for takedowns in this fight. I don't think he's going to mess around with Yan standing up. I think he's going to try to stay out of pocket, use his range, and then shoot for takedowns as soon as he sees Yan try to set his feet and unload on a big punch. I think Yan is going to have to pump the jab quite a bit and keep Sterling honest with the jab and using leg kicks. So this is really going to be the interesting dynamic over a five-round fight because I do think this one likely goes the distance. You know, I'm very much curious as to how both fighters approach this fight because I think, and the odds really do circle back to this one being a pick'em. I mean, slightly in the Yan, but honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this ended up kind of a dead even kind of matchup just because it really is a 50-50 coin flip, in my opinion. I don't think there's a clear advantage to either fighter. There are definitely pathways of victory for both that are attainable given their skill sets. But, you know, if Jan can avoid the takedown, he should be able to find ways of getting there, standing, and outpointing Sterling in a five-round fight. The problem is that I can see Sterling getting into the optimal position and just being able to take care of business against Jan. You know, there really is a strong possibility of Jan getting stopped by Sterling. I don't necessarily see Jan stopping Sterling himself with strikes. You know, Sterling really is, you know, we saw him in the Sanhagen fight. He can take a hit. I just think that this is going to be a decision fight, and it just depends on, you know, which guy is able to execute their game plan to their benefit. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you're probably going to see Jan just barely edge this one out by virtue of the champion's advantage. I'm not entirely certain that Sterling is going to be able to win enough rounds decisively in order to take the belt off of Jan. And I'm always a big proponent of you got to be able to beat the champ to do it, and you got to have three clear rounds by a decision victory. It's always my issue with the Volkanovski Max Holloway fights is that Volkanovski in neither fight did enough to win. You know, the second fight's even more egregious than the first one, but you know, that's a different story. But in this one, I really think Jan is going to be able to outpoint Sterling, but this should be a heck of a fight to witness. So again, three title fights, stack card. You know, you got also a very fun fight between Alexander Rakic versus Thiago Santos. You know, Santos coming off a loss to Glover Teixeira, but still very dangerous. Rakic, you know, very powerful light heavyweight. We should see quite a bit of fireworks between these two fighters. So really interesting to watch in that one to see who's going to get a win there. I'm actually leaning a little bit more towards Santos as an underdog. Plus 120, I think, you know, it's a pretty close fight, in my opinion. I wouldn't be betting Rakic at minus 150. I'd rather take Santos as an underdog because I think it is pretty much a pick'em fight. And then you've got in one of the other matchups on the card, you've got Dominic Cruz returning to the Octagon to face Casey Kenney. Cruz, very shaky looking in that matchup against Henry Cejudo. Kenney, just as fast a fighter. I'm very curious about how that one goes. I think Cruz can outpoint the matchup, but is he going to look dominant? Don't think so, but Cruz knows what he needs to do to get a W. So, you know, definitely interesting fights on the main pay-per-view. So, going to be interesting to watch how it all pans out. But, you know, in terms of betting side of things, I think, you know, realistically, I like taking Blachowicz's stance at plus 180. I think that makes more sense than anything else. And then you could do throwing it into a parlay with the likes of Islam Chimaev against Drew Dober. That should be fairly straightforward mismatch in favor of Makhachev. So he's a minus 360 favorite, and I believe he should be able to finish inside the distance as well. You know, that's where I'm kind of leading. And then, like I said, I do like Thiago Santos as a underdog pick, and along with a couple other guys like Kyler Phillips. You know, definitely an interesting card, to say the least, on the pay-per-view tonight. So, good set of matchups to take a look at, but very much looking forward to this UFC pay-per-view. And like I said, this is a very stacked card, so we're going to see quite a bit going on, to say the least. So I'm going to get out of here, but enjoy the fights, everyone. Take care, and until next time, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.